Hi everyone, welcome to Being Youthful. I am Kim Beegler, the owner of Youthful Fiber Farm and Mill, and I'm sitting here at the mill in Halsey, Oregon. If you are new, which there are some new people in here, welcome. I talk a lot about wool and owning a wool mill, having a small fiber farm, occasionally grass seed farming, all of the things. So welcome, welcome. If you're coming back, thank you. Hopefully my camera, if for those that are watching this, the building, I've said this before, the building is very old and it has a lean to it. And so I'm always trying to, anyway, hopefully the whole thing's not askew because that's how we're going to leave it. It's been a busy day again. It's just been busy, busy around here. And this episode, I have got some quick mill videos in the back of the mill. I went this morning and met up with Maria. Maria was in last episode when we went to go on the wool buy. I met up with her out at one of the fields today to pick up fleeces for you all because there was a lot of excitement, well-deserved excitement, over the fleeces I showed in the last episode, which I have one or two left. I've been going through the list of people that contacted me. Anyway, I digress. I met up with Maria to get the fleeces and then we talked a bit so we could see a little bit of shepherding in action out, not at her place, but where she keeps some of her flock at different times of the year. Also, we're going to take a gross dive into wool moths for a hot minute because a question was asked. And I also have a cute video, which if I have time, I'm going to put in here, of the pigs going to bed last night. And for some reason, I had the patience to watch them. Johnny, our bigger one, was already asleep, but Frankie was in his evening routine of like making his bed, basically. So if you're not a pig person, you can just skip. I have chapters in here now. So if you're watching on YouTube, you can just skip the chapters. If you're listening, you are stuck with me. Actually, you won't have anything of the pigs because that was all just watching. But it was pretty darn cute. So anyway, I thought I would throw it in there. Okay, a few things before I forget things. Mill day is this Saturday. So if you're in the area and you want to come by 10 to 3, the mill shop will be open. I will be here. Others will be here. We'll be making, enjoying, eating snacks. There's shopping. There's all the things. Also, I put a note in the last episode, but if you were listening, you didn't see the note. And maybe you didn't see if you were making, as many of us do while we're watching. And so the spinning wheel list sign up is live on my website. So if you are looking for a used spinning wheel, whether local or not, you can get on this email list and I will start probably next week, hopefully next week, I will start sending out probably a bi-monthly newsletter just to those people saying, here are the used wheels for sale. Here's the ones that could possibly be shipped if they're in our area. And then other people that notify me around the country that they have a wheel, I will also let you know. Okay, so go to the website in the Wool School section. At the bottom, you can sign up. I will also put a link in the show notes to make it easy. But I'm getting a lovely response about used spinning wheels. Some have already started shipping and very exciting. So I think that was all the stuff that I needed to say. Okay, first thing, viewer question. Pat asked, is there any difference between horned Dorset versus polled Dorset wool? So last week, one of the sheep breeds that Maria grows and another farm locally is Covered Bridge, which you can find them online too. I don't know if they have wool in stock, but they are another local horned Dorset breeder. So I reached out to, horned Dorset, let's talk about Dorset for a second. Horned Dorset are, as they call, they have giant horns. They're the original, they're the OG of the Dorset breed. So I had to look up and I also contacted Maria to get an idea of the wool because the wool on Dorsets is not generally primary. Generally, they are they would be considered a meat sheep breed, but they do have a lovely wool that often gets overlooked, which hopefully if you follow me by now, you have not overlooked horned Dorset wool because it is one of my favorites. It's a down breed. It is phenomenal to spin and work with. It doesn't felt easily. It's just a beautiful wool. Brought to the country in the 1860s. It's the 1950s. So they came to the U.S. in the 1860s. The 1950s, a genetic mutation happened, which caused the poledness. So by poled, when we talk about horn Dorset versus poled Dorset, what we're saying is the poled Dorsets naturally do not have horns. So this is the difference in the two breeds. They're technically in the same group, but the horned have big horns. The poled have just basically down to kind of just little nubs on their head, which you can kind of feel. So is there a difference? So what has happened is these poled Dorsets came along. Well, guess what? A lot easier to handle a sheep that doesn't have horns, especially if you are growing for meat or commercial purposes. You're growing on a larger scale, generally speaking, and the less you have to deal with a horn that has a sheep that could have a potential weapon. Not that they're like aggressively trying to, but if you're handling a sheep with horns versus no horns, it is easier without horns. If they butt you, it feels a lot better. They can't get caught up on things. You can't get caught up on them. So there's a lot of reasons that the poled Dorset then kind of took off. So what has happened is the horn Dorset has then declined, and it actually has made its way onto the threatened conservatory breed. It's considered a threatened breed. So people are trying to make sure it stays a breed. When I asked Maria about the difference in wool, because nobody really talks too much about the wool of poled, primarily because they tend to be more on the commercial end. So people that are growing them are not necessarily growing for wool. Their wool's probably a waste product, a secondary product they just need to unload and get rid of. So what's happened here in the valley here, which we grow a lot of sheep here in this part of Oregon, the Valley Dorset, as you would refer to them, it has a coarser wool and they lack crimp. That's probably going to be pretty standard, because if you're growing for meat, you don't care what the wool is like. If you're growing for wool, you care what the wool is, right? So you're going to breed for good wool. If you're breeding for meat, you're growing more for size. So I hope that helps explain. So generally speaking, the bloodlines for horn Dorset are going to be less coarse wool than for poled Dorset. So that was a long way to get to your answer, Pat, but I hope that gave you all some information. I'm going to try to put photos in here. Maria was going to try to send me some this evening. She is, of course, busy. So she was going to try to send me some later today. I'm going to show a quick clip of the fleeces I have left, just so that the people on the list, if you are not interested, well, even if I haven't contacted you, but you're on the list and I contact you, you can refer and say, oh yeah, that fleece. And then if I have already contacted, and if those fleeces don't go, you can still feel free to reach out to me. This may be something that I do with Maria more regularly, because she does have some really beautiful fleeces and she can't keep all the wool. So I'll try to stick that in here.
Okay, here we are looking at these fleeces real quick one more time. So this is the Coopworth fleece, and this one first at State Fair, I assume in that category, and here is the Champion. So there is that one. Okay, this is I'm pretty sure this is 100% Romney. Yeah, this is a Romney, natural colored, gorgeous grays, beautiful. Won something, Reserve Champion at the Oregon State Fair. And this one did not win. She just has it as a long coarse ewe, natural colored, but did very well. So this is going to be a heavy Romney influence. So if you are interested, or if I've messaged you, be sure to check your email or comments below. Okay.
Anyway, moving on. Oh, and Bug Steckelberg, that's your your YouTube name. I did send you an email about the Coopworth fleece. It is available, but I need to hear from you right quick. So I sent you an email, I'm gonna say maybe a day or two ago. So check your email and let me know if you have interest in it. Otherwise, it will open it up for somebody else that has interest in it. Okay, fiber. Oh, talks. I just wanted to sneak in because it leads into my next conversation. Over this past weekend, I was on a Zoom with my fiber club people. So I have a monthly fiber club. There is space open. I know somebody just signed up new. I don't know if you're on here, but if you just signed up, I'm excited to have you join us. We have a Zoom portion of it. So you get fiber in the mail every month. You get a small gift with it. And there's a Zoom meetup. So this past weekend, we had that Zoom meetup. I also have Patreon. So if you don't want to invest in the, I think it's $31 for Fiber Club right now a month, I also have my Patreon, which at different levels, we have a Zoom there. What I'm trying to get to is how wonderful the Zooms are because, you know, I have my in-person stuff, which most of you can't make it to. I get that. So these Zooms are a way not only to get to talk to me, which is fun. If anybody wants to talk to me, hey, great, wonderful. So excited to be there with you. But there's also other amazing spinners and knitters on there that have such inspirational things to show and share and talk about. So every time I'm like writing notes down, whichever Zoom I'm in, I'm always writing notes down. So anyway, this, if you want to join either, there will be links in the show notes to the Patreon group and to the Fiber Club, Fiber in the Mail. It's pretty amazing. Okay. We were talking about wool storage because we were just talking. Everybody's kind of spinning or knitting and talking. And we started talking about wool storage, which is going to lead to the moths. So the general consensus. So most of the stuff I have is kept in plastic bags just because I'm moving it fairly rapidly. Plastic bags is not the ideal way to store wool, raw wool especially, but it does work. Quick story. I just got a lot of stuff. I think I talk about it a little in the video, an estate amount of stuff from somebody that was a hand spinner. There was a lot of wool and it was very, very old, which wool does not age so much if it's kept, if it's stored well. All of it had at some point been infested with moths, except for the stuff in the plastic bags that were pretty sealed up. So, I thought, well, that's interesting, right? I assume these things were all stored together and the stuff that was exposed and easy to get to, the moths got in plastic bags. In theory, they can get through plastic bags. That would be some pretty determined moths. And if there's anything else that they can lay their eggs in, wonderful. So anyway, we talked about wool storage and I have showed before the bins that I use for a lot of my stuff that's already washed, processed, I store in plastic tubs that actually have like seals on them so that they're pretty proof. Somebody did comment, if you live in a really humid place, like if you're in Florida, that's probably not going to work because the humidity, just the heat of it is going to kind of cook inside that bin. In this group, I think the general consensus was pillowcases. Making sure my microphone is okay. Pillowcases with just a tie. So when I get Maria's fleeces, she just has like a tie at the top, whatever you've got, just tying the back. It's not like completely sealed. So a little air can move through it. But I mean, ideally you would have the wool outside somewhere because I mean, not during the winter, maybe, or not in the rain, stored somewhere safe inside because it's just not, I mean, wool is supposed to be outside, right? That's where it's grown. That's where it's going to breathe best. You have to watch for moths. Having a little tie on them can help at the top of the bag. So the general consensus was people store their wool in pillowcases. Great thing, right? If you throw in like a lavender sash or, which I do have, I'm pretty sure I have some on my website, lavender sash, a dryer sheet, something that smells. Moths don't like the smell of something scented. They want woolly dirt smell or animal fiber, dirt smell. So scent will throw them off. So pillowcases for the win. I will say, Holly, I'm going to mention you here. And Holly is the proud new owner of Hawaii's fleece from that last. And I was very impressed with her answer because she said, when I get a new fleece, I try to wash it right away. Ding, 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 ding. if you can wash the fleece right away, that's going to take a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just going to make the wool slightly less appealing to wool moths. They love dirt. They love camelid. Oh man. They love camelid fibers. Alpaca, llama, they're going to love it because of all that dirt. So, and then the scent of wool obviously is a very strong lanolin-y scent. So if you can wash your wool as soon as you get it, you all, holly is amazing. I can't do this to save my life. But if you can, bingo, you're going to save yourselves. And then stick that into some pillowcases, maybe throw a lavender sachet in there. Bam, you're probably going to be pretty solid. Doing a little seal is going to help, right? Because if it's easy, the moths are going to go for it. I've also heard of, and I think I didn't mention this, like the yard debris paper bags, those big bags you can get at Home Depot or wherever, you can fold them down really well. So that's another pretty solid reusable thing that you could get away with. That's not going, don't leave anything right in the sun. Those are my other things. So I do have some videos, as heebie gross as it is, of me cleaning a drum carter that has lots of moth larvae on it. So I'm going to show you that here when we come up to the videos, just because I did have somebody ask how, like, will you see the moths? How visible are they? If you have something that has active moths in it, that's going to be obvious because you're going to open the bag and you're going to see movement. You don't want that. There should be no movement of any sort in your fiber. Rodents can get into them also, so beware. It's a great place to make a nest for like a mouse or something. So the moths are pretty obvious. Wool moths, I should say. Let's be clear. There are bazillions of moths out there. So just because you see a moth in your house even, don't freak out. We have, like, I swear in the past, it's the season for moths right here as we go into fall, and we have like five different types of moths just in and not to make my house sound gross, but all these little baby moths in the country, they just get in and they're actually not babies, but there's all different varieties of moths is my point. So don't freak out if you see a moth in your world. It's if you see it in your wool or on your yarn, or you have obvious breaks in your yarn where something has hatched. That's where you need to be concerned. Okay, so don't panic if you see just any old moth. Panic if you see something in your fiber, around your fiber, anything like that. So the larvae, I show you what they look like. They're kind of like, they're shaped a little, I don't know what the shape would be. They're a little bit rounded and they come in like a Tootsie Roll, kind of like a Tootsie Roll without the little cringe on the side there. But they have that shape to them. And what happens is that stuff grows in there and then it comes out of there. And that's what eats the little larvae, buggy worms is what eats your wool. Not the moths. The moths will lay eggs and continue to reproduce that way. It's the little bugs that will eat. I show it all in the video, so I think that'll help. It's gross. I don't like it. Okay. So there's a little talk about wool storage. I learned so much more. I'm always writing notes, like I said, about new products. There was something else. It'll be in a newsletter. So if you're not on the newsletter, jump in there. Okay. What else? I think I'm almost done, you all. I did want to mention the other thing that I forgot at the beginning is that I do have affiliate links up on my website now, also in my Instagram profile, if it's easier for you to go there. But on my website, we have a page now for affiliate links for Woolery and for Revolution Fibers. So both are places that you can buy wheels, and accoutrement. So if you happen to be shopping with either of them and you enjoy what I do, please, I would love for you to use one of my affiliate links because I refer them a lot and it just gives a little percentage of what you're purchasing back at me. So I didn't want to forget that. Okay, I think we can move. No, I want to show you really quick what I've been working on. Look at that. That is a hand spun beauty, and this isn't all of it. So this is BFL that was dyed in top form, and not by me. I bought it at Maryland Sheep and Wool. So I am in love with this, and I would say I'm going to sell it, but again, I don't know that I can. And currently on my other wheel, I'm spinning up Moira Rose, one of my Shetlands, and it's this beautiful gray, and I'm like, the two of them together, and I think they're going to be about the same weight. So we'll see. If I, look at that, and you can see, this is the dyed in the wool love, is that there's different colors prior to spinning. Now this was dyed top, but it's all different colors through. Okay, because I want to talk about what I'm working on, and I will put a picture in here. This is the East Frisian. I did this a while ago for Fiber Club 2 months ago, and the main things I heard about it was, let me show it again. I just can't get over how much I love this, is that because the brown is a little bit finer, the colors do tend to separate out a little bit while you're spinning. So you'll be spinning and maybe the brown will not be right next to this minty color. This is East Frisian wool. I called it mint chip. There is some in the online shop. So I took some home because I was like, is it, you know, whatever, not bad. Everybody loved it, but just that was one of the comments that some people had. So I took it home and I spun it, and then I was in love. And it does do a little bit of, you kind of have to finagle your fingers to keep the colors together all the way. But what I found was you'll get spots where you have a barber pole. So it looks, you know, the brown and the mint go like a barber pole when you spin them. Then you'll have chunks that there's a little stretch of brown. Then you might have a little stretch of the mint chip. And I loved it because I thought this is perfect for chain plying, because you're going to have all these little segments of solid and then barber pole, and then it's just going to be fun. So I couldn't stop. I only had a little bit at home, and I needed one more ounce. So, but I wanted to show it to you. My reason, main reason being, besides it's really fun to spin, if you are practicing your long draw or you are a long draw spinner and want something that is amazing to spin long draw, holy cow, is this fiber for you. If you're practicing long draw, it's the perfect, it's a bit of a shorter staple length. It spins up beautifully. It does definitely have one side that spins better than the other, but if you like it, I would jump in and grab some. I think there's probably a little less than a pound or so left, maybe about a pound. So I will be spinning this last little batch up, and then I'll show you the finished product. Okay, I'm gonna shut up now, because I've been talking for 22 minutes, and that is ridiculous. So I'm gonna go, we're gonna look at some videos of from inside the mill, out with Maria, and we talked for a little bit out there and saw her adorable guard dogs. They were cracking me up. Show you the larvae, and if it's not too long, I'll throw the pigs in here. You can always skip it, because there are chapters, so you can just like very easily click to the next thing. So I will be back in a minute. Enjoy. All right, I'm back out here with Maria, because she just can't stay off the camera. She's like, get me back on camera. So I was here late, but Maria came and she unloaded some of her sheep out here, so we can see them out.
Down in the grass field.
And this is?
Fescue.
Yeah, this is fescue. Thank you. This is not that I would. I'll be like, well, it's a perennial. I could tell you that, because that's why there's green on the ground right now.
Yeah.
So this is a perennial field that somebody farms on, and then Maria brings her sheep out here.
And they eat the residue.
Yep.
Ideally, they should eat it, you know, not completely down, but clip it down like you would a lawn, because that encourages it to tiller and produce more seed next year. So it works out to be kind of a nice, you know, it's a nice resource for us when we have it. That's always the issue, though. It's kind of hit and miss, and with the drought we've had, we're really lucky to have this. Last year we didn't have any, and yet we're at a D2 drought, and last year was never declared a drought, so it seems kind of intuitive, but we did not have any last year, and it really hurt us, because going into fall, you know, it was, the feed consumption was terrible, and this, you know, they don't have to have hay when they're out on here.
Right.
They do have to have supplement.
You can see there's a buckets over
here. We give them mineral, loose mineral, and then we also give them a protein fat lick thing.
Oh, you've got water too.
And well, yeah, that's the other key issue, is you have to provide water for these animals. And we do have a creek that once it starts raining, it will actually get water. But yeah, it's dry right now.
Oh, is it dry?
And so, and then you have to have guard animals, or you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, you can see there's
even a risk. Even, you know, it's, I mean, they're.
These trees are, the predators love trees, man.
Yeah, and they just, you know, you never know. I mean, most of most of the coyotes, in all fairness, are not sheep eaters, but there's about 15% that are.
Right.
And so, yeah, you just never know what you're up against. So the dogs usually are kind of like, they won't do nothing, but it's like, cross this line and you die.
Right. You can see this is all a in theory, now we've seen plenty of sheep decide that these lines don't mean anything. But
well, I'll tell you what.
On the huge commercial flocks, it's like, if they're sitting too long and there's not grass, right, guess what? That, the sheep are going
to... In fact, that's exactly right. Yeah. Is that number one, you have to have a really kick-ass charger.
Yeah.
Number two, you have to be really dedicated to changing the battery.
Yes.
And walking the fence and testing the fence.
Yeah.
And number three, exactly, and I'll tell you, an old sheep herder told me this, Don Ganos, if anybody remembers him, he's still around, but he's old. And he said the best fence is the green grass in the fields.
Yep.
Because, once,
if it gets low, then they're going to...
like, we boycott.
The sheep is always greener.
Yeah.
Or the grass is always greener, not the sheep.
We're not going to starve out here. We're going to go get some feed.
We'll go find... We had, when we were at our last... Mm-hmm. Yep, our old place, the whole flock. I mean, and it was hundreds of sheep. Yeah. They all took a walk down the road.
Yeah, no, that's exactly
Once they figure it out, it just takes one or two, and then the rest of them are kind of like...
I mean, it's very true. You get one or two bad ones, and, you gotta deal with them.
Yeah.
But no, and they learn it from time they're babies. I mean, at my house, when they're born up in, in my main
facility. I'm going to look at you because it's weird if I'm just...
There they learn about a really kick-ass fence. I mean, that fence is so hot, it will knock you out. It's that hot. And so when they are up there as babies, they learn about 5-strand high tensile. And then from there, they come back, at maybe they're 2 or 3 weeks old. And then they'll go into just 2 strands.
Yeah.
And, the mamas are staying in, so they'll stay in.
Yeah.
And
you don't want to, I know people will be like, oh, it hurts them, but this is all for safety for the sheep,
God,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, it keeps
like they're living, this is the life you want a sheep to live ultimately, is that they're on some grass like this.
Absolutely.
And if they get out of here, in theory, it can sort of keep some predators out. Lots of them will.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, actually.
But if they leave.
The canine hates getting bit by fences. So if they go up and in the natural reaction of a dog, any dog or a coyote or anything, is to touch it with their nose. That's what dogs do.
Oh, yeah.
And they get, whoa, and then they're like, oh, and then they just see it and they're like, oh, no, we're not touching that. But, it is always, it's kind of amazing. Again, the key is to not let up on the charge because, they'll figure it out after a couple of days.
Yeah.
But...
and it becomes a liability too. Like if your sheep end up out in the road, guess what happens?
The dogs running at large are an absolute no-no. Yeah. You cannot have that.
Okay, I think that covers it. Whew, that was longer than I thought it was going to be. But I didn't even get everything. I really want to talk about e-spinners. So it's going to have to be next week because... it's too long. It's too long. But I borrowed an e-spinner from a friend and I just kind of wanted to talk about it. And especially if you've thought about an e-spinner, I can tell you I'm not completely sold. I have a little teeny nano. We'll talk about it more next episode. I'm getting too excited. Okay. Thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for commenting. Please don't forget to subscribe. Wish is currently eating my cord. For my microphone, don't forget to subscribe or comment or like it, whether you're listening, wherever you are, just to let the powers that be know that you enjoy what I'm doing. Okay, until next time, be kind to your neighbors, stay healthy, and make so many pretty things. Thank you so much for watching. I will see you next week.